We're continuing Ein Hayah on Brachot, and Rav Kook had explained the idea that Hashem gives life to the world, and Hashem works through giving life to the world. The good and the bad in the world are granted life, and the bad in the world is really there to force the good to be more sophisticated and to be better. And Rav Kook had said that man's responsibility is to fill his perception, his understanding, with that which is true and right, and as such, the false and imagined thoughts don't have room to come in. And Rav Kook said, when you're with other people, it's easier to ensure that your thoughts are right. When you're all alone, it's easy to make mistakes and to imagine all kinds of beings that exist in the world. Man uses different forms of protection to protect himself from darkness. When a person is in the darkness, then he can imagine many things. You're not sure what you're seeing, you're not sure what you're sensing, and then our imagination can run wild. A person can have fears in the dark. A person can have fears that go so far as to cause him physical or psychological harm. Because a lot of fear is simply a product of one's thoughts that overtake one's logic. So there is a natural protection, and there is unnatural protection. Unnatural protection is when you create your own torch, and as such, you're not working. You don't have sunlight. That's not the natural protection. It's not the natural way of having light. It's what Rav Kook says, it's not natural, it's man-made protection. You created the torch, and that pushes away the darkness. And you then have your environment lit up, and you could see what's real close to you. But beyond that, your torch doesn't really help you. And even though right next to you things can't harm you, beyond your torch, beyond the light of your torch, when you start hearing sounds, you can get really scared. And you can start imagining all kinds of things just beyond where your torch's light reaches. So the torch gives you protection, but it's a limited protection. When the Talmud discussed the demon not affecting you, when you have a torch, it's as though you have two people. So Rav Kook is going to take us down that same path he took us down before, where Rav Kook is going with the Rambam, that demons, shadim, are a product of our fears, of our imagination. There's no demon out there. There's your imagination, there's your fear. Ah, so that's the demon. Well, when you're with two people, your friend can tell you there's nothing there. But when you're all alone, then the demons can attack. When you have a torch, so then it's like you having a friend.
So does this be controlling your thoughts as well?
You control your thoughts. Demons,
control.
According to the way Rav Kook is explaining, is when your fears penetrate your logic.
So he's saying keep your seichel and make sure it's more powerful than your dimayon.
Right. But it's very hard when you're all alone in a dark room.
But you have two. You and your
right.
seichel.
That's two. Me, myself, and I. Maybe it's three. Yes.
What is the torch?
The torch lets me see. So it lets my seichel function. It's not fears. It's not my imagination.
So that's my soul. My soul is my torch.
No, he's talking about a physical torch.
So reality is the torch.
You're in the dark room. Are you thinking maybe there are snakes in this room? Are you thinking maybe there's a burglar in the room? Are your fears overtaking you? Or do you have a little bit of light and you suddenly see there's nothing here?
Well, logic would say you can't see what's beyond it, but you can see this amount. So far, there's nothing bad. So logic would say
That's why Rav Kook says, two people, the demon can't harm, but he can certainly appear. A torch is like two people.
Me and
a torch literally means a torch.
A literal torch.
But I'm trying to picture this in my head.
You're walking in a forest, right? Do you have a flashlight or do you don't have a flashlight?
A flashlight.
Okay, if you don't have a flashlight, you don't know if you're with the head of you in front of you.
It's dark, I don't know anything.
You don't know anything, you bring them run away. With a flashlight, right? And you're walking in the forest, your brain can't run away quite so much. If the sun is out fully, then your brain can't really run away at all.
So what is the
there you go.
So what does the torch resemble?
This isn't a mashal.
This isn't a mashal.
Not yet.
At this point, no.
I mean, so this is pure logic. Like, if you're holding a torch, yeah. So like.
Yeah, but Rav Kook is taking it like he's saying, it's all of life is this.
Okay, that's much the mashal, no.
Not a
mashal
yet.
Not yet. Okay. Very impatient.
It's a very big.
I'm ADHD.
And another person and a third person are on the forest. And let's say you have a torch, you all hear a rustling noise, you all decide, oh wait, it's a snake, it's a demon, whatever, then it's actually more powerful effect.
Because I hear you.
All three of you agree that it's a bad thing.
I hear you.
You're all going to freak yourself out.
It's a good question. I hear you. What?
Shared hallucination, shared psychotic disorder, the common thing.
I hear you. But he was waiting. Yes, Yon.
I think you answered the question. I was wondering about the literal or metaphor or whatever.
Let's hear Rav Kook out. So far, I'm taking it literally.
Okay.
Does anyone want gum?
Nothing. So when there's a full light, when there's a full moon, I don't have to hear, I'm in the office, sorry. When there's a full moon, so there's the natural protection, you can see what's going on out there. You have a moon, you can see, that's like three people. Then you're not scared, because you have a natural source of light.
So you and the moon is three?
Correct.
And you and the torch is only two?
Correct.
Torch and the moon, huh?
No, you and the torch is two, you and the moon is three. Without a torch, I don't need a torch. Yes.
Okay.
Now.
We're talking about different levels of light so far.
Right. Now, when we speak about concepts act like the physical world. Meaning, this is a recurring theme in many places, that the system you see in the natural world, it resembles the system in the spiritual world in certain ways. And let's see. When we speak about a person's concepts, a person's intellect, a person's knowledge, there is also that question of, do I have a natural light or do I have a man-made light? Just like when I'm walking in the forest, he said, take it literally. Do you have a flashlight or do you have the moon's light? And so far we were dealing on the literal level. When I have a good source of light, then I'm not worried. I don't think there's a ghost standing behind that tree. I'm not worried. There's a full moon. I see there's no ghost. I move on. But when I have a flashlight, all I know is that as far as the flashlight gives me light, there are no ghosts there. Beyond the flashlight, maybe there is a ghost. The same is true when we speak about our thoughts. When we speak about our morals, when we speak about spiritual darkness, we're talking about whether a person is ethical, whether a person is moral. What's the protection? Well, there's man-made protection. There is natural protection. Man-made protection is logic. You analyze. You think. You start working logically to conclusions. So, our logic can only go so far. Our logic cannot bring us to complete tranquility. But it does help that it's like the torch. It keeps you a check to a point. Just beyond the light of the torch is the darkness. Let's take an example, okay? Logically, you know what you're supposed to do. When we leave our learning tonight, you know you're supposed to go to sleep. You know if you're going to sit on the computer, you're supposed to do A and B and not C and D. So your logic can hold you so far. But you know that just a click away is something tempting, but I shouldn't do it. But how far can my logic take me? How far?
Real is your logic to yourself?
Oh, okay. But even if my logic is very real, how far can it take me? You're dieting. And logically, you know you're supposed to be dieting. How far will it take you? I'm not supposed to eat that pizza. Okay? So far, I'm not eating the pizza. That's another question. But how far can it take me? Yes?
In mathematics, we'd say if we have a consistent set of bases, everything that comes out of it will be true. If you have an inconsistent set, if you have one axis is true, and the other one says x is not true, from that you can prove anything you want. So your logic can just like the flashlight can be used to do, if you have a pure flashlight. Right, you can see around and, oh, I see the tree is just a tree. The same way, you can use a flashlight and say, oh, look at the shadows, that's a ghost in the tree. You need a flashlight.
So you need a third source that keeps your logic in place.
You need the correct bases, otherwise the logic can be worse than yourself.
Okay.
Oh, is that your soul?
Again?
A Jew, every Jew somehow has something in them that always pushes them at least to think about doing the good. And as much as we do have Yetzer Hara, which is what we're describing here, you know, things can mix up, the darkness, this and that, but if your logic is coinciding with pure truth, then you're constantly agreeing with your logic is always going to be with the truth.
Let's hear him out. So logic can only take you that so far. Logic does not eradicate the thoughts that can harm a person. Logic doesn't make it that you say, I'm not interested in that. I'm not doing that. Logic does not bring you to a point where a person will not self-destruct. Logic can help you protect yourself. It's like the torch. It could keep you a check to a point, but it doesn't eradicate the problem. It can only help you to keep yourself a check up to a point.
So nothing can.
Slowly. That's the torch, which is a single light, and it gives me a certain amount of light in the darkness, and it's like two people against the demons, the problematic thoughts. The moon is the natural light. The natural light is the warmth of the heart. When a person is inspired, when a person senses from within, I connect to their bone shalom. When a person feels a pure connection, so then a person is connected to a point where he doesn't want the other things.
Isn't that your soul? Your soul is always connected to God.
You're right, but the question is, how connected am I?
Well, that's your choice.
Okay, but the question is, can I inspire my soul? Can I arouse my soul? Do I sense my soul or do I ignore my soul? Every time a person makes choices, he's making a choice between following his soul or following his animalistic tendencies. And a person can make a choice to ignore his soul his whole life. It's a choice we make all the time.
Lust for truth, because we're built that way, no?
We lust for many things, and not only truth. We also lust for lies.
But ultimately, the Jew wants to fulfill his purpose in this world.
The question is, will he cultivate that drive, or will he try to extinguish it? He can never extinguish it completely, but he could certainly make it dim. People who spend their whole life pursuing hedonistic desires, they're not listening to that drive.
They're just misdirected.
Say what you want, but they're leading a certain lifestyle. They have the potential to be different, but they're leading a certain lifestyle.
There is that drive that wants to do good.
For sure, but we have to fan the flames. Says Rav Kook, you want to know what's the moonlight? You want to know what's the natural light? That's the heart that's inspired. That's a warm heart. That's the fire of God that's burning within a person. That's when a person feels a pure connection to his people, to their bon shalom.
That's natural in every Jew.
That's natural, but that's, if you fan those flames, that's the natural light that the Gemara is talking about. Then there's no room for the false temptations to come in. I'm busy, I'm doing something, I'm connected, I'm not interested in other things. When a person has real connection to the Jewish people, when a person has real connection to the concept that he has the yoke of heaven, when a person is really connected, that's like three. And then his heart is not looking for the other things. And then there's no room for, maybe I should do something wrong. He's got the light. It's not beyond the light what's lurking. No. Yaakov is called the whole person, Ish Tam. Kodesh Yisrael Lashem. When Am Yisrael connects to the concept of holiness and truth, then they're connected to Hashem. V'hineh Hashem nitzav alav. Hashem is standing on Yaakov Avinu. Our sages say Hashem is standing on Yaakov Avinu because he's helping Yaakov Avinu connect so that now he won't be attracted to the negativity that he's going to encounter in Laban's house. That is the natural light. The natural light, says Rav Kook, is that desire to climb the ladder. I want to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When that's a person's drive in life, so then everything a person does stems from that. And then it's not that beyond the light there might be something lurking. There is no beyond the light. This is the natural light he's living with his whole life. Rav Kook is describing a high level. But we can tap into it at times in our life. We can try.
Why would you want to tap into it when you know that if you do this, you can still get suffering and incredible suffering in this life?
Not an idea.
The question is, what am I striving for in this world?
If I'm striving to do exactly what God wanted me to do, why should I strive for that, knowing that I can suffer greatly in this life, irregardless of what I do?
What's the purpose of suffering?
What?
The reward of the suffering.
What's the purpose of suffering? Apparently, sometimes there is no purpose.
No.
We never said that. But
there was no purpose.
You heard 25 psukim out of 1,000, and now we know the whole book. Wait a second. The book is meant to annoy you. So
I think I remember the conclusion of Eov.
I don't think you remember the conclusion of Eov.
About,